What if every choice you make today is either training your heart as a slave to sin or a servant of righteousness? Let's contrast Adam's disobedience with Christ's perfect obedience, and let's call believers in Washington to obey God rather than men as they step into the public square. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, if you haven't checked us out online yet, fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org, I want to encourage you to do that. Now, some people say, what's the difference between FPIW, a 501c3, and FPIW Action, a 501c4? In FPIW, we do everything about education. We're doing spiritual, we are doing Bible, we are doing evangelism, heart change, heart transformation. And FPIW Action is about everything in the public square. So this is where you can register your position on bills. This is where you can learn how to grow in communicating with your school board members, all these kind of things that are much more public facing, you might say. So we have both the Educate and Activate part of our organizations. And so I want to encourage you to check those out, fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. Also, if you haven't become a financial partner with FPIW, I want to encourage you to dive in at 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks a month, whatever you can do. We so appreciate your generosity. And if you are, thank you so much. We are so thankful for what you do to keep programs like this going and all the things that we're going to do during legislative session and the such. So one final announcement before we get going. If you enjoy these daily devotions and you haven't subscribed, liked, shared, or commented, I want to encourage you to do that as well. You can place this in your huddle in your Washington Defender app. What is the point of these devotions? It's to change our hearts so that we can change the public square. All right. So we are in a series called Justified from Romans chapter 5, and today it's the obedience of the one. Let's read this. It says, "So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted in justification of all of life to all men." I love this. Through Adam, the first created human being, a man, we see that he disobeyed God. Adam was the only one that actually got the commandment of God directly from God. Eve, we see that she got that from Adam. And so we look at this and we see, okay, so through their act of disobedience, sin entered into the world. Specifically Adam's act of disobedience. Sin entered into the world. So sin spread throughout all of humanity and has for thousands of years, probably about 7,000 or 8,000 years. So through Jesus Christ, it says, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of all men. So the ability to be justified by faith through grace in Jesus Christ is available for everyone. Every human being can be saved because God has called them. And he has set them apart. He wishes that none should perish, but all come to repentance. For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. Do you know that you have a Savior that dwells inside of you, who is the light and life of your heart, who is obedient? He's obedient to the Father. Now, it's hard because we know that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And we know that in his humanity, he never sinned. And we know that God never sins. And we also know that there's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Holy Spirit. And so some say you serve three different gods. And the reality is, no, we serve one God and three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus steps into our hearts and our life, the Father steps in, the Holy Spirit steps in, one God steps in, and that God is an obedient God. He has called us to obedience. Now, whether you like that or not, we will give an account for what God wants to do in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives together. So think about your obedience. Let's start with Deuteronomy 5:32 through 33. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you will possess. So blessings come from obedience to God. Paul says it this way in Romans 6:16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves to the one who you obey, either a slave of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? I love this question that Paul asks. He's like, hey, come on. Common sense says this. You present yourself to someone as a slave for obedience. You're going to obey something. You're going to obey someone. It's going to be your flesh. You say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. You believe in God. You know he's there. And you understand that God is real, and you're suppressing that truth in unrighteousness. We've already studied that. But you're saying, wait. I am a slave to the one I obey. Well, man, when Jesus stepped into life, nothing changed. I'm still a sinner. I'm still an alcoholic, addicted to porn. I still cuss, swear, chew, run with people who do. Can I just propose something? Maybe you're a slave to sin and God wants to set you free and you need a savior today. Maybe today is the day of salvation. If you've made God fit into your box, I'm not sure you're walking in his commands. In fact, I know you're not. Why? Because you're a slave to him. He's not a slave to you. So many of us have tried to make God our slave. Give me this, give me that, do this, do that. We try to tell him what to do all the time. Luckily, he's gracious, and we've all fell into seasons of that. But you're a slave to the one who you obey. And if it's obedience of sin, it's going to end up in death. Or obedience resulting in righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? It's doing the right thing. It's doing the thing that God defines as right. It's walking in God's absolute truth. Jesus says it this way. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Now, Jesus's commandments aren't difficult. Love God and love others. That's the sum of all the law and the prophets. Love God, love others. We've made it incredibly complicated over history and over time, but it's not difficult. You're supposed to love God and love others. So, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Many of us think of God as being a burden. And this Christmas season, this time together, let's really think about the very, very fact that his law is not burdensome. Loving God is not a burden. Loving others is not a burden. In fact, it can become a very delightful thing, and it can become a joy, even if it's hard and we have to sacrifice and we have to push through. It's an opportunity to bring honor and glory to God. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you shall walk in it. So, I think it's important that we recognize that God's commandments aren't burdensome, that we are called to do the right thing, even when it's not popular. Let's look at this. And then we are to walk in it, not going to the right or to the left. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. I think we're living in these exact times. The same times that Peter and the apostles were living in, I think we're living in those days, where people don't want to hear about the cross. They don't want to hear that there's obedience and all this kind of stuff. They want a new God, an easier God, a more palatable God. It's really just their appetite. And God wants to set them free from this sinful appetite because he knows it leads to death. All of the gods of this world lead to death. Only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, leads to life. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on the cross. Now, we already talked about this. Every person sin put Jesus to death. My sin, your sin, everyone's sin. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey. Who has God given the Holy Spirit to? To those who obey. Today is the day that you get to obey God. What if the Holy Spirit nudges you to forgive today? Is there a family member as you go into this Christmas season that you need to forgive? What if the Spirit nudges you to share the gospel with someone around you today, to love your neighbor by telling them the good news of Jesus? Will you be courageous and share? What if you're supposed to lay down your life for someone else today? Not for their salvation, but to be an example of what God wants to do. We need more of that type of humility, more of that type of obedience. I love this. And so is the Holy Spirit given, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. You have the Holy Spirit if you just simply obey him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have placed us in the public square to love you and to love others. God, we pray that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. It's empowering us to obey and to walk in your two simple commands, love God, love others. This word love is not defined how we define love. It's how you define love. It's in the parameters of your definition. You have called us, God, to walk in righteousness and holiness, that you have called us to see and know that we've been sanctified, justified, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That when Christ sets up residency, he becomes president of our heart, of our lives. God, we choose to obey Christ today, to obey the word of God today. Lord, would you flow into our cities, into our culture, to those around us, into our state of Washington? Would you flow into Governor Bob Ferguson's heart and many of our executive branches' heart today, that they would begin to obey you, not out of duty, but out of a love relationship with you, God? Would you reach every county commissioner, school district, board member, every city council? May revival come to Washington State, God. And then out of the transformed heart, may we love our neighbor, God, truly loving those around us, doing what's best for them. God, we thank you that you don't force us into a relationship, but you give us a free gift that we can receive by faith through grace. Today, we receive that gift. Now, God, we ask that gift, the gift of your Holy Spirit implanted inside of those who believe, well, we want to be in harmony with that Holy Spirit. First off, God, that Holy Spirit is holy. Let us walk in holiness, God. And so, God, we thank you for what you want to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.